by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
It is Friday in Brevard County, and that is a wonderful thing. Paul just said, praise God. I love Fridays. Fridays are my day off, and so I am very, very thankful for Fridays. And I want to encourage you, if you've got a construction job that you are working on or going to be working on in the near future, that you give the folks at Jits Concrete a phone call, 321-536-5804. 321-536-5804. Probably the greatest testimony that you can get when it comes to construction is when another construction person is recommending you. And so the folks at Jits Concrete have been part of Merit Assembly of God longer than I've been part of Merit Assembly of God. And a few years ago, we were having a project done, had a contractor, and said, look, when it comes to the concrete, these are the people that I want you to use. And I said, I want you to use our concrete people. And he said, I just found out that your concrete people and my concrete people are the same people. and that was great. And we were talking to him about someone else in the trade as well. And he knew them as well. And so we are very, very thankful for the folks at Jits Concrete. They know how to do great work. And I just can't recommend them highly enough. If you need block work or concrete work done, give them a call, 321-536-5804. They've worked on our projects. Some of them are, you know, one-day projects. They've done some two-day projects. He's done some very small projects for us, but they've also worked on some very large projects here in Brevard County. And I would encourage you to give them a call, 321-536-5804. That'll get you Greg, 321-536-5804. You can give them a call and see if you can schedule a time for them to come, find out about your project. They'll give you a great quote, give you their best effort, do the job with expertise, skill, and efficiency, and leave you with a project that you'll be proud of for years and years to come. 321-536-5804. Tell Greg you heard about him on the Refresh Radio program. So my name is Bob Arthurs. We're going to try and send you off into the weekend with an encouraging word out of Hebrews chapter 10. Yesterday we were, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Thank God for that. Today we're going to look at verse number 24. I'll read verses 24 and 25, and we'll see how far we get in that discussion. But I want to invite you to Merit Assembly of God. If you do not have a church home, we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. You know, we have our sanctuary social distanced. It is the most unusual, asymmetrical configuration that you can imagine at Merit Assembly of God, because we have seating set up for family units from 1, 2. We got some sections with 3, some sections with 4, some sections with 5, I believe, in those things. And we just make room for people. I've not been in the past been one who sat up on the platform. I sat out on the front row, and then when it came time for me, I would come up. But now, to make room for more people, to be socially distanced, all of our chairs are 6 feet apart, by family unit. So I've started setting up on the platform to make room for more family units down on the floor. So we would love to have you come and visit, be a part of what God is doing. We're very excited about what God is doing. In fact, I have a friend. He came over to take a look at our beautification project that we just finished. We're working on some other things this week as well, and his statement to me was greatly encouraging. I told him, I said, man, I think it looks great. And he said, Bob, this building didn't look this good when it was brand new. And that's very exciting to us. And if you're looking for a church home, we would encourage you to come and be a part of what God is doing at Merit Assembly of God. 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, just a couple of blocks north of 520 and two blocks west of Courtney Parkway. So the main intersection of Brevard County is just a couple of blocks away from us. If you need directions, you can either look them up on the internet or you can give us a call, 321-454-4263, and we will help you get there. And you'll find the welcome banners out, unless it is raining outside. But we put those out every week to let everybody know, hey, this church is open and we are here to be a blessing. So verse number 23 of Hebrews chapter 10, that's what we talked about yesterday. We're going to move on to verses 24 and 25 today. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So verse number 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So verse number 24, it simply says this, consider one another. Being considerate used to be normal. It's not so much anymore. And if we're not careful, that lack of consideration for other people will migrate into the church. And that is one place where God insists that we be concerned one for another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. If you filter everything through the filter of self, you're going to get contaminated water. You're going to get contaminated input. You and I are called not just to be looking out for our own interest, but for the interest of others as well. That doesn't mean that I stick my nose in all of my neighbor's business. That doesn't mean that at all. It means that I'm looking out for their best interest. So in my neighborhood, I went out for a walk the other day. I try and get 10,000 steps in every day. Some days I accomplish that very early in the day. Some days I'm you know, pretty close, and so I step outside to get those steps in. So a couple of weeks ago, it was exactly 2 weeks ago, I was out taking a walk, and I noticed that as I was walking that there were large drops of precipitation that were occasionally falling on my head. They were big drops. When you don't just look down at your arm and see little moisture droplets. You know, it's like it hits on your head and just boom, explodes and gets water all over you. It's like, you know what? If drops that large are following, there are probably other drops to come. And so I stepped faster. I wanted to get in before I got soaked. And when I was walking, I noticed that a neighbor's vehicle did not have all its windows up. You know, they had moved their vehicle earlier in the day and they'd left their window down and they had gone in for the evening. And so because it's a really nice vehicle, I wanted to make sure that it didn't get soaked like I've had vehicles get soaked before. And so I went and knocked on the door and they didn't answer. And I knocked on the door and And then I opened up the screen door and knocked on another door to let them know, hey, you got a window down. And I got somebody to come to the door so I could say, hey, you know, just want you to be aware your windows are down and it's getting ready to rain. And so their interior was preserved. That's something very simple to do. Not anything to shout about or anything like that. It is just an example. I'm not here to pat myself on the back or anything like that. I'm just saying we are supposed to be living with a consideration of other people. So another translation says to consider or give attentive and continuous care to. To give attentive and continuous care to. Now, when I think of that, I think of a nurse. I think of a nurse whose responsibility is to provide the care that is necessary for the health and the recuperation of the person that she is paying attention to. So she's going to pay attention to the heart rate, to the blood pressure. She's going to pay attention to the breathing. And, you know, if they've got blood oxygen sensors, that's going to show up on the machine. And so whenever you go into a hospital, you've got people whose responsibility is to simply be observant of the patient to make sure that they reach a condition of best health that they could have. And that's made possible because someone is giving attentive and continuous care to. Another application of this was it says to study one another. Now, when I worked retail, one of the stores that I worked in was very near the main entrance of the mall. I could see the food court from the store that I worked in. The information booth was not far from the store that I worked in. And if I did not have customers, I didn't want to go and hide in the back. I wanted to be out because I like to watch people. I find people fascinating most of the time. And so I would study them. My wife and I think we were at breakfast one day a few years ago, and I noticed something that there was a young couple there, and they were the husband or the boyfriend or whatever was completely ignoring what was going on across the table from him because he was fixated on his phone. And I said, you know what? I don't want to do that. I made sure that my phone was put away. I know too many people who would love to have one more meal with the person that they love because that person is no longer around. They've gone to be with Jesus. And so I made it a point that said, look, I'm not going to be distracted. I'm going to focus on this lady that I get the privilege of doing life with. And so I spent that entire time in conversation with her. Whatever she wanted to talk about, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to spend time with her. I like to study people because in studying people, I'm either going to find a practice that I want to put into practice in my life, or I'm going to find a practice that I want to avoid in my life. So I encourage husbands, study your wives, find out what she likes, find out what she doesn't like. You know, it shouldn't be a shot in the dark to know what her favorite color is. I happen to know my wife's favorite color. Everybody at our church knows what my wife's favorite color is. She has told me that she would not like that color on a car, and she doesn't like that color as the color of a house. But everything else, you know, is fair game for her. She loves a particular color. I know what her favorite flower is. I know one of the songs that will be forever embedded in my memory because of how she was worshiping the Lord to that song. I mean, it made me appreciate that song after that, because I wasn't that big of a fan of it before, but because of how much pleasure I saw it brought my wife and how she praised the Lord, her and my worship leader were having a great time together celebrating the goodness of God. That was awesome. So, but if you study, you're going to find things that they like. You're going to find things that they don't like. It says here that we as saints are supposed to consider one another. One more definition of that word is to think of ways. To think of ways. When was the last time that you sat down and analyzed and strategized ways to make an impact on other people that you are doing life together with? You know, if I'm honest with you here, and I am honest with you here, a lot of people don't have any concept of what all goes on to make ministry happen in a church setting in 2020. You've got to have legal documents in place. You've got to have governmental structures in place. You've got to have banking procedures in place. You've got to have safety protocols. I remember visiting in a members or a minister's meeting here in Brevard County and visiting a church, and it's like, man, can you imagine all of the logistics that it takes to keep a facility like this up and running? So you've got the custodial issues that take place, the environmental issues, you throw coronavirus in there, and you've got the safety practices that need to go, and the social distancing and the seats and all of that sort of stuff. You and I, we need to think of ways. I want to encourage you. God has called you to be a problem solver. He has not called you to be just a problem maker. Okay, He's not called you to be a problem maker. He's not just called you to be aware of problems. He has equipped us to be problem solvers. One of the realizations that I have is if God brings to your attention a problem, there's a good possibility that He wants you to be part of the solution. So we have a workday philosophy at Merit Assembly of God, and that is this: if we are doing something, and at the end of us accomplishing that, you don't like it, you have the opportunity to say, "Oh well, you know, I don't care for it," or you have the opportunity to redo it yourself. And in almost 28 years of ministry, I've only had one person who saw something that we did and he said, "You know, I don't like the way that was done. Would you mind if I tackle that project and do it myself?" I said, "No, feel free, go right ahead." And he did. Because I don't have to be involved in everything. It doesn't have to be my way. I don't have all of the experience that is necessary to make the church succeed. But I tell you what, if the saints got together to think of ways to be a blessing to those around them, I think that we would be much more effective. If we thought of ways, what does it say here, to stir up love, instead of proclaiming and speaking things that just exacerbate the problems. I remember reading a book by John Maxwell. I don't know if the thought originated with him or he just repeated it, but when you come to a fire, you can either throw water on it to put the fire out, or you can throw gasoline on it to make the problem bigger. I'm looking for people who will help to find ways to solve problems. That's what I think. So I realized at one point in time, if I wanted problems solved, I needed to look for people who thought of things in a manner that I did not think of them. And so I found people like that, and they think differently than I do, and they solve problems. I don't want just people solving problems the way I tell them to. I want them to solve problems that, you know, in a way that's going to glorify God. And I don't really care that I get the credit. I don't care if they get the credit. I want the glory to go to God. So let us consider one another. Let us study one another, give continuous care to one another, and think of ways where we can stir up love and good works. One translation says that we can provoke one another to love and good works. One says stir up love. One says spur one another on to love and good works. Another one says stimulate, to incite to love. In other words, our interactions with one another are supposed to be like iron sharpening iron. Now, if you think of the word stir, I can think of standing at a kitchen and stirring things up so that they don't burn. My mother and occasionally my wife would have me to stand there and stir something that was cooking on the stove so that it would not burn. If there was not someone there to stir it, it had the possibility of ruining the dish. So I was there to make sure that something didn't get ruined. When I see the concept of spur one another on, I've spent some time out in the central part of the country. Horses are not foreign to that part of the country. And if you were riding a horse, a lot of times they would have spurs. They're not sharp, but they're rounded tip spurs that when you would be riding a horse, you would use that spur to get the horse's attention and say, we need to move in this direction. Or if you were already moving and you hit them with the spurs a little bit harder, it was saying, we need to go faster. We need to go faster. So I want to ask you, how long has it been since someone encouraged you in your walk with God and they spurred you on to a greater quality of love? Another one, this one has a bit of a negative connotation to it when you think of it, and that is to provoke one another. You know, we think of it in a negative context because the Bible says, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. Okay? So you've got to understand that this is not a provocation that is going to lead to hostility. This is an action that is going to move us from one point to another in the concept of love. How many couples think that they never are going to love their spouse more than they do when they're dating and when they first get married, only to discover 50 or 60 or sometimes 70 years later that they love their spouse more at the end than they ever did at the beginning? The body of Christ has been equipped by God to be the representative of what true love looks like, and we need to be provoking one another to love. You can incite someone to love. You can, you know, there's external motivation and there's internal motivation. Okay? What is being talked about here by Paul is there is pressure applied from an elderly or a more experienced or more seasoned saint that is going to be used as an external motivation to a person younger in the faith to develop greater in the area of love until it becomes an internal drive in them. Now, I don't need any greater motivation to love my wife. I don't need somebody to come and say, you know, hey, you know, you're being a bonehead. You know, I don't need anybody telling me to love my wife. You know, my wife says, you know, over and over again, the Bible says husbands love your wives. Well, that's because a lot of times husbands don't do that. A lot of times people don't love what they've got until it is gone. Okay. But I fully understand the wonderful gift that God has given to me, and I want to do my best to nurture that gift, to take care of that gift. And so I've got that internal drive. I still want to be a better husband. I want to be a better saint. I want to love better. But it doesn't just stop there. This is talking to the body of Christ, and that stirring, that spurring, that provoking, stimulating, inciting is also geared to works that are good, works that are moral, works that are helpful, and works that are noble. There should be someone in your life that when you meet together, that it causes you want to get more involved in the work of the ministry. There are things that everybody in the body of Christ can do. But a lot of times we don't have that internal drive. Maybe it's a lack of awareness because we never thought of it. Sometimes it's maybe because we've just gotten too comfortable. But we need to constantly be growing in the area of love and good works. And so there's an, I believe the word there is for good works is ergon. It is to toil as an effort or occupation by implication an act. God wants us to be doing things on a natural basis. I say the ministry should be something that's organic to us. It's what we do. It's kind of like my breathing takes place. I inhale, I exhale. I don't even give any thought to it. It just is something that is organic because of the way our bodies were designed by God. You know, every once in a while, if you have surgery, they will say, okay, as part of your recuperation process, we've got this organized effort here to get your breathing back to where it was supposed to be on a natural basis. And so they'll give you this breathing device, and you either inhale and hold your breath, or you inhale at a certain pace, or sometimes it's you blow into this, but it is not meant to that you're going to have to do that every day for the rest of your life. It is saying, okay, we need to spur you on to get you back to the place where it's natural. Wouldn't it be great if the body of Christ was already that place where we were excelling in the love of God and manifesting that love of God in good works to the church and to our community? Let's provoke one another. Let's stir one another up, spur one another on to love and good works. God bless you. We'll see you Monday right here.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Flowing down again.
so free.